today's readings, we have a great similarity between the first reading, when we heard about the prophet Elijah, and the gospel reading. Both of them talk about a widow who had an only son, and the son died. The first reading, Elijah the prophet, just to give a little background, Elijah is one of the greatest of all the prophets that we can find in the Hebrew scripture, in the Old Testament. He lived in a time very difficult, very challenging, in a time when the prophet, in the scripture, when we talk about the prophet, we talk about Isaiah, Ezekiel, so many, Jeremiah. A prophet means, when we talk in sacred scriptures, the one man, also women, who will talk the word of God. The words, when the prophet says the words in the name of God, has God's powers in his words. It's not about predicting the future, it is talking about delivering God's words. That was the mission that, of course, all of them had, and Elijah was no different. Elijah was a very difficult time because the king was married to a woman who was not Hebrew. You might have heard her famous name of Jezebel. Jezebel, she was not Hebrew. She had her pagan idols or gods, and she was influencing the king to change, building altars for worship of her God all over the land of Israel. And Elijah was speaking against that. So happened that Elijah had, to make the story short, it's a beautiful story, but he had to run for his life. And going to other places, foreign places, there he arrives in this village where he finds at the entrance of the village, this widow was gathering, some wood to prepare a fire, and he asked for food. And she said, "I have nothing." It was a time of a drought, famine was all over. So she said, "I only have just a little flour and some oil, which I'm going to prepare my last bread, and then I and my son will wait for death, because we have nothing else to eat." And then prophet said, "But share with me, and you will have that. You will not die of hunger." And she did share, and she did not die. And then we come to the story that we, the passage that we see today. She didn't die of hunger, but eventually her son died and was, and she started blaming and say, "The prophet said, why have you come here? You called God's attention to me." It was their understanding that anything that would happen, sickness or even the death of someone who was still young, was seen as God's punishment. And here is she telling, God has seen that I am a sinner, and now he's punishing me. It's like this: if you were not here, God would just, she's there, but I'm not paying attention. But she said, "You came here and you called God's attention upon me." But he took the child and prayed and asked God to grant life. And life was granted to that young man. And she didn't then recognize, here is a prophet. He speaks the words of God. And then in the gospel we see, we can say, two processions. One is going out of town, sober, funeral procession, a widow carrying her son, her only son, and the people of the village accompany her. And then Jesus is coming with his disciples and the crowd that was also following him, probably joyful or not, definitely not somber crowd, that, you know, and they meet. And then Jesus, we just heard what happened, you know, he gave the son back and said, "Rise up," you know, and he gave back to his mother. His mother gave life. The difference between the prophet, you know, the prophet, he prayed that God would give life to that child, the prophet Elijah. Jesus, he himself, his word ordered, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, he had the word. He did not need to ask God to do so. Now, two points that I would, you know, there's so many things that we could reflect, but two points that I wanted to bring out of this passage of scriptures. First, our God is the God of life. Time and again, you know, we are faced with that reality. Now, we, either someone from our family or close friend, you know, we one day we go through that reality that we have to bid farewell. We have to say goodbye to someone whom we love and has been called from this world. Reality that, of course, in church, you know, being a priest, basically every week, you know, we have to we are called for either a funeral mass or to go into a funeral vigil or a burial. You know, it's part. Difficult to say, but death is part of our lives. And how can we keep our faith? You know, trying to explain that death is not the end. Trying to explain that even, not to explain in the idea of understanding, you know, faith is not that level, I must understand, you know. Sometimes we do have that mind that everything has to be clear. And when we talk about faith, it's a different kind of knowledge. Not necessarily math. You know, not necessarily math. It's not that science that we talk about. You know, because faith involves our heart, our soul, and cannot be in many ways explained in the scientific terms that we know them. But one thing we are sure of is that we celebrate in life, not death. Death has been conquered. Death was won by Jesus when he rose from the dead. The cross is the meaning by which salvation came into the world, the Lord's death. Yet he conquered even that. So death will pass. Life is eternal. And our God is the God of life. Second point is how these moments when we face our mortality or our passing from this life, how this moment should bring from us the best in what it means of solidarity. We see how God is close to those who suffer. More than once, not only in today's passage, but how Jesus was so close to those who need him, healing the blind, the lepers, forgiving their sins. You know, in the Old Testament, how God also was present with the people, freeing them from slavery in Egypt, granting, you know, so many stories in the scriptures when a couple had no children, and God having mercy on them and give them. That was also seen as a sign of blessings. So this God, we see God is not far from our own lives. And that's easier said than done, because experience in many ways will tell us that we might feel abandoned, forgotten, forsaken, and we say, where is God? You know, there are so many psalms that we pray just like that, and the psalms are beautiful because they are prayers, they are poems that will refer to, you know, that feeling that's within us. And sometimes you say, God, when I most needed you, where are you? Why are you hiding your graces from me? And here we see today's scriptures that God is not absent from our lives. He's not deaf, he's not insensitive. He wants to be by our sides. He is our consolation. He is our consolation. And that is asking from each one of us, how am I? Am I a solidary person? You know, that will, in many ways, is so difficult to sympathize. And when we see someone that is suffering, you say, what am I going to say? You know, I don't have words. I don't have, you know, time and again it has happened that I question myself. When I'm in, what can I say? I have no words either. But you go and you listen. And the person talks and talks and talks. And then when the meeting is over, you say, oh, thank you, Father, for your words. They were so inspiring. I feel better. I said, what did they say? I didn't say anything. But the presence of being there. And sometimes we try to get away from the challenges of life, from sadness, moments, you know, the difficulties that we go through. And it's like the story of that woman who was searching for, you know, that holy man who everybody thought had the answer for everything in life. And she went to that holy man, a wise man, and asked, said, I want to know the secret to stop the sadness in my life. I want a happiness. And he said, what is the secret? Said, you have to find a mustard seed. You have to go to a home and ask for them for a mustard seed. I said, well, I said, that's easy. Well, in the place that where there is mustard seeds, and that's easy. I go. He said, but there is something. You have to find that mustard seed in a house that there is only happiness. There can't be anybody who is sad, who is going, you know, to moments that cannot understand. That has to be perfect happiness. When you find that home and they can give you that mustard seed, then you have the seed of happiness in your life as well. Well, there she goes. First the neighborhood, the family, and then searching and searching wider and far from her home, and she realized that she can't find that home where there is perfect happiness. And she realized and started to listen to other people's stories that in many ways are not different from the ones that she was facing. And quite often they were much harder than she could imagine. And she sees that the secret, you know, there's no secret for perfect happiness. Because happiness as peace is not, you know, is not an ending product. It's the journey. We make our journey in life a happy journey. Not only waiting for that day, when will happiness finally arrive? We will die waiting for it. It's not that we are doomed to live in a world that is not happy. No, it's not in the way. Is that we have to find happiness in everyday life, in many ways, the small things of life. And then we will see that the challenges that we face, we will overcome them one at a time with a faith in God. Because God is close to us. God is not far. And when we realize that, we see that the challenges we face, well, they are just present in our ways. But they will not deter us from getting closer to the one who created us, who loves us, who is the God of life, who is the God who is close and solidary to our sufferings, our challenges, our ways in our lives. And the Lord will always be with us, and we'll learn how to be with Him.